Since the bans implemented by China earlier this year around what plastic they will accept, the ripple effect on recycling continues to be felt. It's kind of like the shock heard around the world. The rumors abound. Everything from the recycling industry is dead to nothing we recycle gets recycled anyway. What better way to clear up some rumors about the impact of China's decision and what the plan of action is for the Tucson community than by interviewing our trusted friend and repeat guest, Christina Palsgrove. Hi, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and we're going down to Earth. Thank you for being a part of our world. And as always, a sincere thanks to the sponsor of this show and a valued partner and supporter of the Mrs. Green's World platform, City of Tucson's Department of Environmental Service. The mission of the Environmental Services Department is to promote a healthy Tucson community by providing innovative and effective waste management and environmental protection services. So what does that mean exactly? And I'm just going to give you a quick snapshot because sometimes I don't think I do it justice what a big job this is, what a heavy lift to help promote a healthy Tucson. They do recycling and waste reduction services. They operate the city's Los Reales landfill in compliance with state and federal regulations, of which there are many, and I invite you all to think about taking a tour. Cleaning up groundwater at old landfills, another big heavy lift, and ensuring that the city's air quality and industrial waste discharge permits are up to date and in compliance. In other words, they do a whole heck of a lot. So please join me now in welcoming the person who really pretty much, I've never stumped this guest, I can tell you that, Christina Palsgrove. She's the public information officer with the City of Tucson's Department of Environmental Service.
Well, thank always you. Fun. Thank you for having me. It's always fun to be here.
We always
here.
Have fun. And believe it or not, I want to start with our energy tip from Tucson Electric Power Company, which fits in perfectly with the content of this show, and I'm sure Kelly King had something to do with that. Consider replacing your water heater with a new high-efficiency model or even a solar water heating system. It's actually surprising to me how much money you can save on your electric bill by doing just this one thing, which then begs the question, what do you do with your old one? Is there, what do you do with your old water heater? Take it to the landfill?
You take it to the landfill. We have a scrap metal pile.
Which I've seen.
We will not charge for it. You can just drop it off. We will charge for appliances that have some kind of coolant, like a refrigerator or a freezer, but that old water heater can go right there.
See, that was a perfect tip to put in because you have an old one to get rid of. And just people don't think you can put it in a dumpster somewhere. Take it to the Los Reales landfill, and then they will use it for scrap metal. Okay, let's talk about China. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
What did they do? What happened? Why did they do it? I mean, they were taking the majority of the world's recycled plastic, right? At least from the U.S.
One-third of the recyclables produced in the United States were going to China.
That's a lot.
And it's huge. And as of January 1st, they said, we don't want your garbage anymore. And unfortunately, many communities across the country have been dealing with contamination in the recycle bin. But because there weren't such strong restrictions against it,
God only knows what was in the recycling.
Yes.
You've told me enough stories. It's like, this is a scary thought.
But as of January 1st, they won't accept anything that has more than 0.5% contamination.
Holy smokes. And how do they, I don't even know if you know the answer to this. How do they measure that? Like it goes over there and then what? If it's not acceptable, it comes right back?
It's worse than that. It's on a much bigger scale. So the shipping containers, think about the big, huge boats that take all these bales, hundreds of bales at one time. And they're coming from Tucson and other communities from the
all over
West
the United
Coast.
States.
Yeah, and if they open a bale and they believe it's more than 0.5% contaminated, the whole thing's coming back. The whole shipping container.
Oh, so there could be literally one thing. And think about the carbon footprint of that. The shipping and then shipping back. So, and there has to be plastic contamination inspectors or something. That's really bad. At least you didn't say they dump it in the ocean, because that's what I was afraid you were going to say.
And a lot of it, you know, here at the recycling facility that Republic Services owns, they have people who, you know, buy the products, and they will send inspectors and they'll look. And so they're making such a huge effort to do quality control so that we have marketable materials.
And it's interesting because I've watched a couple of specials on TV about it. I've watched a couple of YouTube videos. I mean, it hurt that the whole industry. Like they interviewed people from companies that their whole business was gathering the plastic and shipping it. That's how they made their living, by shipping the plastic and being the depository. And then it hurt. People got laid off. So it was really definitely a ripple effect. It just goes back to, we are a global economy, people. Do not think we are not. There it is. Do you know if they did it because I've also seen movies on China and the plastic and how much there is? Was it just they reached saturation point? You couldn't possibly recycle or repurpose the amount of plastic they were getting.
Well, we actually had a panel discussion at our professional organization's meeting a few months ago, and we were fortunate enough to have representatives from Waste Management and Republic Services talking about why it happened. And the thing that stuck with me was they said, in many ways, China's where we were as the United States in the 70s. After World War II, you know, we just moved ahead trying to build our economy and really didn't give much thought to what it was doing to the environment.
Right.
And in the 70s, we stopped and said, look what we've done.
Yeah, look at the Hudson River. You can walk across it because it's so polluted.
And China is essentially there. The pollution has gotten really bad. It's impacting their environment so negatively.
And the health of the citizens.
That they've just said, no more.
We've got to do it. This global climate action summit that I went to in San Francisco, I think it was like the Secretary of Energy from China spoke, and he did talk about their efforts to reduce pollution and do many, 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 many more solar farms and really try to get to more renewables, because it literally is killing people, and asthma is off the charts. So it's a big deal. So just kind of a basic question, and I'm not sure I ever asked you this, but if I did, I forgot. What happens when the plastic goes to the recycling plant from here? What's the map? It goes in our recycling bin, then it goes on a truck, then it goes to the recycling plant. What happens to it then? Do they just sell it? Is it simple as that?
Well, they sort it.
They sort it. I've been there.
They
love
it.
They
break it down into the different
good
types
old re-community.
The different types of plastics. And, that's one of the things. When people look at the plastic and they see the triangles and they say, oh, yeah, that means it's recyclable. Well, no. The number is actually telling you what kind of plastic it is. And they have this whole optical sorting system that can tell which different types of plastic.
So sophisticated. It blows your mind.
So it all gets broken up and baled, and then they have buyers from different markets. So they come, and if they want it, they buy it, and then it gets crumbled into little pellets and washed and all these things, and then it can become something new. And that's the big part about recycling. If it isn't a plastic that is valuable to be made into something new, do we really need to recycle it? Because if we landfill it, it's not going to hurt the environment. So we were so focused on diverting from the landfill and trying to keep so much out of the landfill that we lost sight of those two important questions. Is it usable? Is it going to be harmful if I landfill it?
That is a revelation to me. And I mean that sincerely. My wheels are turning. And that does make sense, because there are many uses for it. It cracks me up, the emails I get and the e-blasts about, this is made from 100% recycled plastic and it's a beautiful shirt. And there are backpacks, and there's furniture. I mean, the beat goes on. So that's exactly what you're saying. If there's a use for it, let's do it. And if not, let's not.
Right. And if not, and we want to reduce, which is, of course, you know,
the
something
that
R, you're
I have
telling
that
us
in my notes.
All the time.
The first R
reduce
is reduce
your use
people.
Of plastic.
Yes. I'm going to close the show with that. No more straws. I mean, that's you know that I'm known as the anti-straw queen in Tucson, but it's really helping because people are stopping to use them around the country. I wish I had started the whole movement. So what will it actually do? I'm calling it the China effect. To you, to the city of Tucson, to your recycling practices? Do you know enough yet? I mean, January is not a long time ago in the sense of major processes that have to be looked at. Do you have any sense for how it's going to impact you now or going forward?
Well, we are, of course, grappling with what are the options, and if those will, you know, any changes to the program will need to go to Mayor and Council, which is fine. But immediately we need to start letting people know that they need to pay more attention to what they're putting in the recycle bin.
Contamination, people. You've heard me preach from this microphone. Use your head. It's not the garbage. It has to be clean. And I know, like, one of the things I've talked about is pizza boxes. If the pizza boxes isn't covered with grease because they put something under it that absorbed the grease, great. Take it out, that little platform they put in or that insert, and do it. But don't put garbage in recycling. That's what I say to myself. No, this doesn't work. Rinse something out lightly. You don't have to wash it in the dishwasher. But you have such contamination stories. Someday we should just do a story. What you have found, the little treats that you have found in recycling.
And the other thing is, you know, just you're going to be seeing some messaging that's going to emphasize four types of materials that have consistently over the years held their value in the marketplace.
Got it.
And that's going to be cardboard, metal cans, so that's tin cans, aluminum cans.
Good to know.
Steel cans.
Good to know.
Plastic bottles and jugs. Number ones and number twos, which is where we were 5-6 years ago.
And just when I think about the education challenge you have, is, you know, people are getting it down somewhat, and then it's going to be some new things. But I'm adaptable. I can read. I can learn new habits to help the planet. And that's what it comes down to, is personal choices.
Yes.
And we really have to do that. I'm still laughing about sometime we would have to do a show on what's recycled, but we'd have to say this show is for mature audiences only because you get stuff. And I'm like, are you kidding? Are you serious? Okay. What about glass? I always have to ask you about glass. I can't help but think that someday glass is going to have a value.
Well, glass is unique in that it can be recycled forever, over and over and over again. And unfortunately, there has never been much of a market for it. And our recycling processing facility that we contract with, they sell as much as they can. It doesn't make much, but they are recycling and reusing as much as possible. We're not taking it off the list, but we're not emphasizing it.
Right.
Any longer.
But it's really good to know that, so you don't have to feel so guilty. I mean, and I just keep thinking that one of these, you know, genius kids is going to come up with the, here's how we can use glass, and it's going to be financially viable and really good for the environment. I get it. And, you know, as I was preparing for the show, you and I talk a lot. We're friends. We see each other at a lot of events. So I think I know above average, but sometimes I say, I don't know, we have to go look at Do More Blue and see. I don't know the answer to that. But talk a little bit more, just a little bit, I think we should do it on every show that I do with you, about the situation in Tucson. How many people recycle, what percentage of households, and then of that, what is the contamination rate? I cannot emphasize that enough.
So we have been very successful in getting people to buy into the idea of recycling. 90% of the households set out their blue bin at least once a month. So that's our participation rate, and we've done field studies and observations that support that number. The problem is...
90%?
Yeah.
Recycle?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Well, you know, with a grain of salt.
Right.
Because in our last audit, most recently, our contamination was at 36%.
Wow. So that brings the number way down. What do people think it's the garbage can? Is the education, how do you, in your spot, get to people to explain to them? Are there fines? Do they get in trouble?
We do have the ability to enforce.
Yeah, and who's going to do that?
And yeah, that's a challenge because we can, after, you know, three strikes, we can pull the blue bin and replace it with another garbage container, which will cost an additional $11 a month. And that might be something that we'll see more of. You know, it's going to be...
It's constant. You just have to constantly be out there. And another thing that I thought about, which I may have asked you, but it's been a while and we always have new listeners, is what is the most effective way that you have found? There are so many things coming at us in social media, in flyers and inserts in our bills, whatever. What's been the most effective? I'm sure you have some sense of what you get the most ROI on in terms of how to get the word out, or is it really a smorgasbord of all different things?
These days with social media and newspapers and... Everyone gets their news and information from different places.
So
and so you can't focus your efforts on one, but certainly the one that always brings positive returns is one-to-one contact. You know, being out at events, talking to people, answering questions, because everyone has a lot of the same questions about it. And people who are interested in recycling will seek you out and ask about, you know, even little things. I had a gentleman call me who wanted to know if he had to take the little plastic off of the tissue container, the tissue box.
Wow, that's a conscientious consumer.
I'm not worried about you.
Oh my gosh. So that's a great example. So I, you know, I live sometimes, I think, in a bubble because you surround yourself with people that have similar values and all of that. And I think most people are consistently caring more and are more conscious about the environment and pollution and on and on. So to hear that it's 90%, for some reason, I thought it was lower. So that's encouraging. And then if we can get that contamination rate down to about 5%, we're on a roll.
Right, and I think that most people will find that if they recycle the things that need to be recycled and separate them correctly, they're really going to have enough room for everything. It will just be something that will ultimately, you know, benefit our community because we do, you know, if we used to be in a place where we earned revenue from the sale of recyclables. And that really helped us keep our costs down and offset our operating expenses. And that's not the case right now.
So it goes from something that's a revenue stream to an expense.
Yes.
And that's different. That's hard. In some of the cities, I hear stories about this. You have to sort it according to cans, aluminum cans, paper, cardboard. You have those four bins, and if you don't do it, you get fines. I mean, that's intense. So do you ever see anything like that happening? I mean, it's just, that would annoy me. I'm sorry. It would be really annoying.
You generally only see that in states where recycling is mandated, and Arizona is not one of those.
Got it. And we're sure that's not happening anytime soon. That's okay. I want to ask you also about people. I'd say one of the questions that people ask me the most is about people who live in apartments, that they ask me, what can I do? And I tell them, you can only advocate with the owner because
yes.
they have to contract. Is that still correct
yes.
information?
The property manager has to request the service and add it to them. Whoever is their hauler will provide recycling. If not, we do have 6 neighborhood recycling centers where people can take their materials, and it's just treat it like the blue barrel. Whatever you would put in your blue barrel that's recyclable, you would put in these dumpsters.
In these dumpsters. And, you know, in Taos, where I go in the summer, they don't have recycling pickup. I got word from my daughter they're going to start it, but it's amazing to me when we go to drop off the recycling, how many people really do care.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to sort it. They have cans here and paper here and cardboard there. But it feels, you just get there. I always take a little short video and say, you feel like you're part of a community of people who care. And of course, Taos, there's a lot of hippies. So they are environmentally conscious, a lot of people. And it makes me happy to see that extra effort from communities. And for apartment dwellers, get a bunch of people together and go, all of you, and say to the property manager, we want this. This is something we value, and make it happen. I mean, I think most people that I know would pay a dollar extra a month on their rent if they could have the recycling opportunity.
Well, in some cases, the property manager might be able to save money by adding recycling, as long as people are recycling the right stuff.
How would they save money?
You wouldn't have to have, because recyclables don't have food waste. And,
got it.
Animal waste and things like that in it. It can sit a little bit longer without having to be collected, whereas the garbage, you know, you have to collect that regularly,
especially here in the summer, which is now 6 months long. I'm beginning to think it's going to be 103 in October, because September has not been very happy camper. So you get it out at events. I've noticed more articles in the newspaper, because we are the Luddites that still read a newspaper, and I find it's, you know, I like it. I think it's a good source of information. There was an article that I read the whole thing, because it was about recycling, and they referenced the Do More Blue. If you want to know more, just do it. What can be recycled? So that's, to me, a community effort, and lots of people in my demographic will see that, because we like to touch the newspaper and feel it, and only my modern friends read the New York Times and the Star online. I can't underline online, so it bothers me.
You can highlight.
I can highlight. What about, are there any other changes in the wind that you think will come about because of the China? I wanted to call it the China syndrome, but it's really not. I just wanted to imitate the movie.
Right.
But the China effect, is it anything else you want to add?
You know, I think we have heard from other communities in Arizona that have taken action immediately. I know of a couple that are pretty much only taking cardboard and plastic bottles 1 and 2. Some are cutting paper out of it. I hate to see us take that step, because we're not sure how things are going to play
out. It's too early.
And also, we need that time to inform and educate people about why we need to make these changes, if in fact we do.
Right. Is there any other, like, I think about, you're great with partnering. Is there any education? I mean, I know you have limited staff, but do you ever target schools for education?
Oh, yeah. We offer classroom presentations through the Environmental Education Exchange for students.
Oh, E3. Yes. Love them. Yes.
For students in first through fourth grade. And then we also have a newer program that's really wonderful that targets middle school students.
And it's really a great place to start, because I have parents tell me all the time, you know, who's after me? Mom, don't put that in the in the garbage. It goes in the recycling. Or Dad, that goes in the recycling. So it's great to have it hit as many intersections as you can.
Absolutely. And that's really where we have to plant the seed.
I think it works. And E3, I mean, they do really good stuff.
Yes, they do.
And there's an event coming up on October 14th for Discover Local Day, and they should come to see you, because there's going to be a game.
Yep, we will all be there.
And what is it called? Cornhole?
It's basically the beanbag toss.
Which is the rage.
I mean,
for my kids, they have it at their parties. That is a thing. It's like for it used to be horseshoes for us, but I don't think people even know what that is anymore. So what else do you have to say? I think we covered it all. Is there any big glaring omission that I didn't put in here? I think people should know Do More Blue. Just put that in your search bar and it comes up. And you can find a lot out about it. Follow you on Facebook.
DoMoreBlueTucson.com. And if you feel like seeing everything up close, we do have a landfill and recycling facility tour scheduled for Halloween.
Perfect. It's my husband's birthday. Maybe that's what I'll give him for his birthday, a tour of the landfill. And I don't want to, I want to just become totally, totally come clean here. I went on a tour with you. And I'm pretty transparent. What you see is what you get. I wear my emotions on my sleeve, on my face. I loved it. I was enthralled. I was blown away by the complexity of the issues you have to deal with. I presented yesterday to a group at Tucson Medical Center, their seniors program, and guess what came up? Household hazardous waste. It is one of the most popular services, and we were talking about it's the first Saturday, and this guy knew in the audience, he knew everything. He's a volunteer, and I said, you know, you have to be a city resident, and I said, you have to show that you're a resident of the city, but that's a successful program for your hazardous waste, and they said, how do you know it's dealt with properly? And I said, because I went to the landfill, and I saw where it was disposed of, and it's another step that they have to do to control it. I said, there's a whole area for the disposal of household hazardous waste.
That program is a big secret success because of the material we collect, 98% of it is recycled or reused.
That's unreal because like the paints and all of those things can be done. We had them on from Gerson's about the recycled paint. So that's another plus. So there's lots of things going on at the with the public information officer here. So I just want to end with something very predictable. And as always, thank you. And time flies because we do have fun. Mrs. Green's World, as all of you know, is all about putting a spotlight on climate change in every way we can because we believe it's the biggest threat facing our world today. Having a greater awareness and a broader understanding of the importance of recycling and doing it properly all have an impact on the health of the planet, on land, on sea, and in the very air we breathe. But at the end of the day, hopefully this show provided you with such an opportunity to sharpen up your skills and step up your recycling efforts. But the message I would love to leave you with, Christina could probably finish this sentence for me, is just remember the first R is reduce. Massive consumerism got us where we are today, and walking more gently on the earth by using less will move us in the direction of where we all want to be, living on a healthy, sustainable and socially just planet. So that's my closing words. Christina, thanks. It's always fun. We have two great shows coming up. It was fun. We always have fun. It seems like 5 minutes. On October 9th, Matt Helm. I hope everybody listens to this show. It's called Freedom's Edge, a love story, and it will surprise you because it is connected to climate change. And then on the 10th, Gary and Rob Lauer, idea sharing with civility and respect. And it's about the Arizona Speaker Series that's going to have, you know, James Goodall, James Comey, Joe Biden, Condoleezza Rice, Scott Kelly, Sanjay Gupta. It's going to be quite the lineup. So their vision is to really create platforms for civil discourse. It was a great show. So everybody, thanks. Make it a great green, straw-free, plastic-free day if you can. Thanks, Christina.
Thank you.